Where are you going to go for the best in college radio? The University of Central Missouri, of course. Tune in to the UCM radio station, The Beat.
Welcome back to The Winning Formula on UCM Radio, The Beat. I am your host, Cole Elling. Thank you all so very much for tuning in to our sixth episode of The Winning Formula. Last show, we had a great time with Jenny's golfer, Haley Jones. Haley went on to win, actually, last week, the Midwest Intercollegiate, hosted by the Jennies here in Warrensburg. If you were able to make it out to Mules National last week, you definitely saw the beat down the Jennies gave to the entire field, winning by, I believe, 25 shots. So I guess you could say the winning formula could be the key to success for Haley. We will dive in a little bit later in the show to the Jennies team as they stay hot last week in Tulsa, or this earlier this week in Tulsa. Our email line is still open for you all today. Please keep shooting emails my way throughout the show at winningformula6409@gmail.com. Again, that's winningformula6409@gmail.com. But this week, today, we have a very exciting show for you as Mules football player and redshirt sophomore Christian Davis is with me today. Christian is from Columbia, Missouri, where he attended Hickman High School and was recruited to UCM to be, I guess, a star on the Winning Formula TV show. I'm just kidding. more so to help the team to the great season that they're having this year. So, Christian, thank you so very much for taking the time out of your busy schedule today to be here. I know you mentioned you got practice here in about an hour, so we're sticking in this pretty close. But tell me, how's the semester going? Obviously, the team's doing great at 7-1. Just won homecoming by 50 points. How's it going?
It's going great. You know, I'm loving life. You know, having a lot of fun with football. You know, classes are going all right, and just doing everything. Good, just loving good. It.
And you guys leave Friday for Missouri Southern. You go down to Joplin to play this weekend.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What's Southern looking like this year? I know they're 4-4, but I don't really know much about the team.
You know, they're a 4-4, 500 team. You know, looking average. You know, we're a very elite team, and mm-hmm. we just are just planning to go out there and compete at our elite level.
Yeah, that's correct. I mentioned last week on the show that you guys are kind of at a point right now. I feel like, you know, a lot of those good teams, you see it in college football, you see it in the NFL, but that when that top dog, especially a conference rival, comes to your town, like, you could be a 4-4 team, you could be a 2-6 team, but, like, you know, that's their Super Bowl basically this year. Is, you know, they're looking for something to hype them up and start their season off again. So I'm sure you guys are going to get the best of Southern this weekend.
Oh, yeah, we're getting the best of any team we play on here on out. You know, we got a big target on our chest, you know, being 7-1 and, you know, the number one offense in the nation, you know, leading defense in turnovers. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's a lot of reasons for teams to want to beat us.
Yep, that's where you want to be, right on top, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
So we love
keep it going. Well, before we dive into the football, let's talk about high school. And you went to Hickman High School in Columbia, played a few different sports. Let's start out with just football. When did that start?
So my first year of football was in eighth grade, and it was recommended by my science teacher to my mom about, hey, we need to get Christian into football because, you know, I was not getting the best grades. And he was like, I think it'd be really good for him.
Okay.
So, you know, eighth grade, went out for the football team and played running back and linebacker.
Wow.
And I didn't know anything about football. I thought I wanted to play wide receiver because mm-hmm. I used to watch Tavon Austin's highlight tape and I thought he was the GOAT.
Yeah.
So, but then I played a lot of linebacker in middle school, and you know, I was a backup to a kid who he went to go play running back at Stanford, now at Mizzou.
Oh,
Nate
wow.
Pete, and so I was like, oh, okay, like this linebacker thing is fun, but then, you know, I stay 5'8", 190 pounds, you know, that's not going to be great to mm-hmm. be a college linebacker. But then in high school, you know, I was like, okay, I'm a full-time running back, and I fell in love with that position really like my freshman year of high school. Wow. And yeah, done a lot of great things.
That's probably cool to, you know, watch a guy that plays at that level get better with him through that and become better yourself. And it's a big step in high school sports, really, to get to that next level.
Yeah, for sure. There were a lot of dogs mm-hmm. from Columbia that they were all really good at football, and we'd all work out together, mm-hmm. and it was nice because we all pushed each other. None of us went to the same school, but we all pushed each other outside in the off season, working out together at API with Jarrell, mm-hmm. and which is some old Mizzou football players that have this gym in Columbia, and we'd all work out there. And I actually went to come play here with one of the guys we'd work out with, Robert Hunter. He's from Tolton, okay. and he came and played quarterback here. And it was a pretty cool experience.
That's really cool. Yeah. You also mentioned you played some other sports in high school. How did those kind of transfer into your, you know, into football and eventually into the college football?
So I also ran track in high school, and I wrestled in high school. Mm. I played football all 4 years and ran track all 4 years, but wrestling I really only got to do it my sophomore year because I didn't do it my freshman year. I didn't really know about it, mm-hmm. Which I wish I did know about it because I think wrestling is one of the best things someone could ever do. It was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Cutting weight, you know, it made me more mentally tough than anything, and it makes you pretty physically tough too, which helps out a lot for football.
Yeah.
And you know, mental toughness helps out with everything in life. And then, you know, track, you know, that's just to keep my speed up and keep the wheels turning. It was fun, you know.
Yeah, so that's I've heard there's a lot of wide receivers and running backs that play or run track in the off season, probably for good reason. But wrestling, that's just a whole different animal. I mean, I feel like at that point, you're not really, you know, a lot of wrestlers or football players, I feel like, don't wrestle. I feel like they should because just the mentality part of it. I've talked a lot about on this show about the mentality thing. But I mean, that dives into every single sport, the mentality of wrestling.
Yeah, wrestling was insane. It was it was one of the highlights of my high school career is when I got to wrestle.
Yeah.
And it's not even the actual matches, because I'm not going to lie, wrestling a full match, that sucks. Like, mm-hmm. that's wrestling a full 6-minute match. Whew, that's hard.
I can't even imagine.
It's 100%. It's 100% the whole time, you know, because football, you'll go 100% for 6 seconds, and then you get about 10 seconds mm-hmm. for every, well, not in our offense. We're fat. We're like boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
But still, you know, when defense is out, you're resting. But wrestling, it's just
you're all full bore the whole time.
Yeah. Throttle full down.
I got a classmate, Paul Hernandez. He's actually had a presentation yesterday in our class about wrestling, and he's a great wrestler from Oak Park High School in Kansas City, and was a state champion there as well. And he talked about just I was almost about to run through a wall in class. He was talking about just, you know, the decisions you have when you're getting beat down in wrestling. Because, like you said, you can't run, you know, even in practice. He said he'd practice and wrestle against coaches. And, you know, what are you going to do, sit there and just cry? Or are you going to get back up and do something about it? And that's what you got to do in every single sport, even golf. You know, you make a bad swing, you make a bad score, and, well, you got to set up to the next tee and hit another one anyway. So it's wrestling is. I hope my kids get into wrestling.
Yeah, I'm definitely putting mine in wrestling. They need it.
So talk about you know, after wrestling and after track, how did that recruiting process go to come here at UCM and play football?
So it was actually kind of complicated for me. I was actually a walk-on. I really didn't get recruited that much, a lot out of high school. I had like an offer to Missouri Valley and like, you know, just some other small schools were talking to me, but I took a couple visits here at UCM, and we had like one football visit here, and I really liked UCM. Yeah. And then, you know, talking to my mom, she's like, "Oh, I feel like God's telling me you need to go to UCM," and I'm like,
"If she's, you know, saying that,
yeah, then, yep. You know, like mama knows best."
That's correct.
So, eventually, I actually actually applied here and just came as a normal student, but with the mindset of, like, I'm going to play football.
Yeah.
But I wasn't even a PWO, which is a preferred walk-on. I didn't even get that opportunity. And I came here, and I actually watched the first football game from the stands as a normal student, and it was actually the worst thing ever. And, like, kickoff, the football team would be in the calf, and I was there, and I'd be there by myself, and I'd watch all them eat together, and it would eat me alive. I hated it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm a football player. I knew I needed to play.
Yeah.
And they had football tryouts, and I was like, okay, that's the day I grinded all summer. Well, I've been grinding football
your whole
forever,
life.
My
yeah.
whole life, yeah. But, like, that summer I was really, like, I had a huge mission, mm-hmm. and I worked really, really hard that summer coming into the school year. And, you know, tryouts came, and we did our little combine testing, and they brought us all up at the end, and they're like, if we call you tomorrow, if we don't call you tomorrow, you're not on the team. Mm-hmm. And I met a couple other guys that were trying to walk on, and the next day hits, and we see each other throughout the day, and we're like, have any of you guys got a call yet? And we're like, no. And it was like the next day, I never got a call. I was like, no way. Like, no way football's over for me. And, you know, by the grace of God, I get a text message saying, hey, Christian, we want to talk to you about coming in and potentially walking on. When can you meet? And I was like, I can meet
now.
Anytime, right now. So I went in, met with them, and, you know, got all signed up through all the NCAA stuff because it's a big, complicated process.
Oh, yeah.
And I was on the team the next week. You know, my first day on the team, we had a challenge day. So freshmen, they do these really hard workouts at, like, 6 in the morning. And Fridays were the challenge days my freshman year, where you do some crazy stuff. And then the first thing we ever did, it was you'd get a 45-pound plate, and you hold it over your head, and you would lunge the whole, like, grass, like over by the baseball field, the whole grass field, which I swear was over 100, like, it was like 130 yards.
It
I swore.
More than 100 for
yeah,
sure.
It was for sure over 100. And it wasn't mowed, so the grass was kind of tall, and then once you lunge, you put the plate down and you push it.
Oh,
and, ooh, I'm not going to lie, I threw up after, but I was the first one to finish because I had that walk-on dog mentality. Still do, you know, still do.
Yeah.
But that was, like, my first experience on the team, and I'm like, ooh, all right, this is what it's like to be a college football player. You know, eventually was just continue to work really hard, keep my head down, keep working, you know, and I was just so grateful to be on the team. And, I feel like I viewed it a little differently than everybody else. And I eventually got, blessed with a scholarship, and I was a couple springs, like the spring of COVID, I'd like went off and did my thing, you know, earned a starting spot, got a scholarship, did that.
Mm-hmm.
Did my thing, and then, you know, then now I'm here in my fifth year playing college football.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. Such a good story. Wow.
Yeah.
Was this at the time Sobota was still the
yes.
head coach?
Yep.
Okay. And so you spent what would have been a year with him?
I spent like...
Or 2 years.
Okay, three.
Really?
Yeah, because I was here in... My freshman year was 2019.
Okay.
It was when we were conference champs.
Okay.
Or co-conference champs.
So this was your sophomore year with COVID then?
Yeah, sophomore year was COVID. That's when, it was weird having a season because we were supposed to play like Pitt and Northwest or something, and they pulled out because they had sick mm-hmm. people. So we just had a whole fall of just practice, and then we had spring ball, and it was a weird time. It was
Very
a weird,
weird
time to play football.
What's it been like going through Sobota's program and now Coach Lamberson's program?
They're both wonderful coaches, both great, great men. They just both have like different type of energies. You know, Coach Bota was more of the old school head coach where it's like he lets his like OCs do a lot of the work, and he, you know, older guy just expects like greatness and like a certain classiness out of us.
Mm-hmm.
And Coach Lambo, he brings like a different type of energy, like. Man, this guy is he just has so much energy and just positivity, and it just leaks out of him. And you know, I'm very grateful that I've got to play under both of them.
Yeah,
and it's great.
That's so cool. I remember Lamberson's first game. at home when he came here, and it was that flyover game. I forget who you guys were playing, but there was a flyover during the national anthem. And I'm the, like the front row of the student section, and the flyover happens. It's giving me goosebumps just talking about it now. But the flyover happens, and you guys are obviously there on the sidelines, and he runs over to the student section and just starts hyping everybody up. And I'm like, this is the guy.
Yeah,
like, I'm like,
all right,
this guy is going to want to win. And so obviously we see that this year.
Yeah.
He loves to win, obviously.
Oh,
so do you guys. So it's fun to watch. Very fun to watch. Well, we are kind of getting, I don't want to say behind in our show because we're having some great conversations, but it is time for our first commercial break. Please keep emailing me at winningformula64093@gmail.com. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about what Christian does off the field when he's not working his tail off in the classroom and on the field. So we'll be right back after this commercial break.
Did you know that when you shop at a local business, you can create jobs, stimulate the local economy, and reduce your carbon footprint? 90% of net new jobs are created by small businesses, which makes them the largest employer nationally. And for every $100 spent at a local shop, 68 of those come back into the community because small businesses buy from more small businesses. Because of this, habitat loss and pollution caused by transportation has decreased by 26%. To learn more about the benefits of supporting small businesses in your community, visit one in your area today.
This message brought to you by your friends in UCM Digital Media Production.
We have so much to celebrate in Division II, but we're especially proud of our commitment to Make-A-Wish.
Division II student athletes have led a 10-year initiative to raise funds and help grant wishes of children with life-threatening medical conditions.
Nearly $3 million have been raised, and hundreds of children's wishes have been granted.
We play hard, we work hard, and we support others in need. Why? It's simple.
Because we care.
We can stop to make sure someone is okay.
Get in the way and disrupt the situation.
Notify an authority.
Or walk them home safely.
We can change the language around rape.
We can make campuses safer for our teammates, our friends, and our classmates.
We cannot be bystanders.
Taking action isn't always easy. But it's on us
to intervene.
Because we can.
Learn more and take the pledge at itsonus.org.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, "Good evening, officer." A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, "I'm a catch," more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place.
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Winning Formula on UCM Radio The Beat. I am your host, Cole Elling. If you have any questions of yourself for Christian, please keep emailing us, winningformula64093@gmail.com. I'm sure Christian would love to hear from you guys as well. But before all that, talk about kind of how I got introduced to Christian, my teammate and Winning Formula superfan, Calvin Dillon. Knows Christian through FCA, just an organization here on campus, Fellowship Christian Athletes.
Sure.
And I know Calvin has a big role in that, and that's something that you're involved in as well. So if you could just speak on what exactly FCA is.
So FCA is a It's like a little student athlete Bible study in a sense. Mm-hmm. It's actually a really cool thing because it's completely ran by students. It's not put together really by faculty or really anybody else. And obviously FCA sponsors us because FCA is a big nationwide thing. But so basically it's a group of us that we all meet up every Wednesday at Old Drum Cafe. So shout out Old Drum for letting us meet there.
Great place.
Great, fantastic. Gotta get their coffee. And you know, we all talk about God and, you know, what God means to us and, you know, just give him a little praise right then and there. You know, it's a really cool thing because we're all athletes. So we have like the similar schedules, the similar lifestyles. So, it's a really cool thing where we can all just get together and, with, you know, like-minded people. And, to be honest, you don't even have to be an athlete to go there. We bring anybody because, you know, God welcomes all. His doors are open. And, you know, it's such cool. A great thing.
And how long have you been a part of FCA?
I've been a part of FCA for since like my sophomore year of college.
So you've probably known Calvin for a little bit then, I think.
Yeah, Calvin's I've known Calvin for
yeah, Calvin's yeah, a great guy. And I know his girlfriend Neely, she's there as well.
Yeah,
helps out.
Yeah, she's fantastic. She also works at the church, and mm-hmm. you know they're some of the sweetest people I know.
What does FCA? It doesn't even have to be those Wednesday nights, but just in general with your schedule, with classes and all that stuff. Like what does FCA bring to you that saying you know not being there on Wednesday nights wouldn't?
So. It's really the companionship with the people. Mm-hmm. You know, like there it's not like you just see those the people at FCA on Wednesdays. You know, I'll see them in the union mm-hmm. or I'll even see them on the track. Like I'll see Brian, who runs track, mm-hmm. Out there all the time. And, you know, it's always you always say what's up because it's like, hey, like that's my dog. Mm-hmm. And it just it brings more friendships, you know, positive friendships at that. It's just a lot of great people are there and to influence me.
I'm gonna have to urge my way back in because I was involved in attending for a while there my freshman and sophomore year, and then just things happen. But you know, especially this year, my Wednesdays have been kind of crazy with this stuff. So it's been tough. But I want to make my way back in there because it's not even like I feel it's just a good hour of. You know, the topics that the people are leading with have always resonated with me. I'm always related to. And it's just a good way to see the lives of other student athletes. Because, like, I feel like, you know, this is one reason I started this show is just that life balance of student athletes can be so tough. And so I think that's one of those good things for on campus that kind of refocus you and recenters you and humbles you.
For sure.
It's kind of what I've got out of this show is just being able to sit down with a student athlete and see all the things I relate and struggle with like they do. So that's very important. I think it's so cool that, you know, especially the fact that it's student ran is just a bonus.
It's a really cool thing. And it's been successful. Like it's, you know, some people would be like, oh, you meet for the first year or whatever, and then it falls off. But we've had great leaders like Calvin, Jenna, Paul Lanigan, Trevor Vanpool, they've all been great.
And it's grown a lot over the years. So I remember my freshman year, it was not like it is now.
Yeah, it's definitely seen its ups and downs, but I think being an Old Drum has done like the best because, you know, I've seen, you know, 5-6 people at FCA, and I've also seen up to like 50.
Yeah.
And
it's very cool.
It's a really cool thing.
So if someone that's unfamiliar with FCA, how do they get involved? What's their first step?
All right, the first step, you go to Instagram, UCMFCA, and you hit them with a follow just so you can see when we're meeting, which we meet at Old Drum on Wednesdays at 8 o'clock, and then really just show up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's going to be a bunch of smiling faces there, and everyone's so welcoming. And mm-hmm. It's awesome, and anyone's welcome.
Do you guys do anything outside of just those Wednesdays, or are there other things that are – happening outside Wednesdays?
Yeah, so there's also Thursday Bible study, where Thursday you meet with the little group and you go deeper into the Word because FCA, they give like a little message and then you break off, like boys and girls will break off in their own little small groups and you'll go go through some questions. And the cool thing is, like, everybody talks. Everyone shares about, like, what that message meant to them and what how they feel about it and what they think about it. And then, you know, also I sit with them at church on Sundays. You know, I'll see them there. But, yeah, no, FCA does quite a bit.
Yeah, it's a great organization, great thing to be a part of.
Oh, for sure.
I'm glad we give them a little shout-out. But this is time to go move on to the most important part of the segment. I got some rapid-fire questions for you. Some are easy. Some are very tough. I feel like it's going to stump you. I'll give you some time to answer.
Okay.
But answer honestly, because Mules Nation needs to know who Christian is. So first, okay. This was given to us by our super fan, Calvin Dillon. He wants to know if your haircut throughout the years has been inspired by Patrick Mahomes.
Okay. I don't think my haircut was. I think his haircut was inspired by me.
Oh.
You know, personally.
I love where you went with that.
I like to think I had it first, but...
He came second. It's fine.
Yeah, and, you know, he started winning a lot of Super Bowls, and they're like, hey, you look like Patrick Mahomes. And I'm like,
he looks like
hair.
Me. You even got the goatee.
Yeah, I know.
The goatee is perfect. All right, another tough one I feel like here. Who is the best all-around athlete on the Mules football team? Like, this guy's in the weight room. He's a dog. He's on the field. This guy's a dog making insane plays.
Like, besides me?
Besides you, sorry.
All right, the best athlete?
Yes.
Or, like, the best football player?
Let's go athlete. I want to know just this guy. He could play – you think he could play basketball maybe? He could play baseball maybe? Like, this guy is just a dog.
Oh, that's such a good question.
Because I watch your guys' games, and I'm just like, damn, like, these guys are so freaking athletic. Like,
yeah. We were looking at Gabe Clark the other day, number 77. He plays guard. He's one of the most athletic big guys I've ever seen in my life.
Okay.
Dude's out there before practice catching punts. I bet he can dunk.
Wow.
You know, like, dude's
as
huge.
An O lineman.
Yeah, I think we have the most athletic O lineman in the country.
Wow.
Like, it's kind of crazy seeing some of these guys.
That's helpful.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Gabe is sneaky athletic.
Right.
It's crazy.
Shout out to Gabe. I hope
Shout
he hears you
Gabe.
Say that.
I know.
Yeah, that's a big compliment. What's the most embarrassing song in your playlist right now?
Oh, the most embarrassing song.
I don't know. Maybe you're banging some T-Swift. Maybe that's not embarrassing. I mean, I love T-Swift. But
shoot. I listen to a lot of R&B. I love, like, Usher and that.
Okay.
Oh, but you know the have you seen that new movie with Jennifer Lawrence? Called No Hard Feelings.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They play a song in it called Man Eater.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been listening to that banger? On like the movie song.
Yeah.
Like, because I thought it was a banger. He played it like on the little piano at the at dinner.
Uh huh.
And I've been listening to that on repeat. I don't know. I just thought that was a banger.
That's cool. Or it's because Jennifer Lawrence is in the movie. She's good looking. So. If you could swap lives with someone for a day, anybody in the world, who would it be?
I could swap lives.
Just for one day.
Mm. Oh, that's a hard one. Because I love my life. I love living my life.
That's a good. That's a great answer, but I still need it. I need a person.
I might just have to pick my biggest hero, my mom, you know,
that's
just to see what, like, she really is, really does, you know what I mean?
Wow.
I know she does a lot, but I want to see it for myself.
That's cool though. I like that answer.
I don't think I can handle it though.
Me either.
Yeah,
love my mom to death. She's a hero, but definitely couldn't do it. Where was I? What is your go-to touchdown celebration? you score winning touchdown, conference championship. What are you hitting them with?
So I wear this towel every game, and it says Jesus on it. And the celly is you finding the camera, taking the towel off, and showing the camera because it says Jesus. Because, you know, that's who would have blessed me with that touchdown right there.
I love that. Mm-hmm. That's good. Very humble. If football wasn't in the equation, where would you be and what would you be doing right now?
Football wasn't. If you asked me this like a couple years ago, I would have been like, I have no idea. I would have said I would have been wrestling, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But last fall I started my own business. It's called Uncle Nick's Guamanian Cuisine.
Oh wow!
And I cook Guamanian food. It's all recipes my uncle taught me, and our signature is our pork sausage fried rice. And we set up at the farmer's market all summer here.
Okay.
And we had a huge, huge fan base, and they all loved it.
That's awesome.
So I think right now I would be really running that and maybe getting a food stand or a food truck or a brick and mortar and going all in on it.
Because
right now I'm doing it on the side, and it's going great.
Wow.
It's going great.
I'm going to have to try that out.
Yeah, you're going to fall in love.
Where do I get some of this food?
So you can message me personally, and I've been doing a little I've been catering a little bit
because
we do catering. But I know it's rough because we're not fully in business right now because football season is hard. But during the summer, we're at the farmer's market. So.
Well, as soon as football's over, I'm going to hit you up. We're going to have a good meal.
Hit me up. We'll eat good.
You, me, and Calvin. Yeah, we'll grub.
Yeah, we'll eat good.
Perfect. I like this one a lot. What's the weirdest pregame ritual or superstition you've seen a teammate do? Yeah, is there anybody that's like, damn, bro, wash those. You got to wash those jack straps. You can't keep that. There's something weird.
I know in my head, like recently I've been trying to pull myself away from it. But I've had teammates do some, like, it's just all different types of stuff. So my old roommate, Wyatt, mm-hmm. you know him. One time we were walking into the locker room, and I almost walked over the handicap sign, like, on the ground. He, like, throws me out of the way. He's like, don't touch it. Like, if you touch it, like, you'll get hurt, I swear. And I'm like,
what?
I'm like, you're crazy. And then I got a lot of teammates that are big on splitting the poles.
Okay.
Like, when you, there's, like, a stop sign and you walk on one side and he walks on the other, he's like, no, we gotta like walk on the same side. Time. But
and is that game day?
Or
is that
season
every day?
But game day, I'm trying to think of a big game day one.
How about this? I'll make it easy for it. Is there any song right now that's being played in the locker room that's like everybody's been on? Like maybe one song that's just, because I know like the Vikings, they've been playing Creed in their locker room, that higher song?
Not really here, but in high school for us, it was T. Grizzly First Day Out. Like, because the first game my senior year, we played it, and, like, it seemed like a movie. And then right when the song, like, we're all hyped. Like, it started off slow, and then we all start getting hype, and we all start singing, and we're all just raging and singing the song. And then right when the song ends, the door's open for us to head out. Our coach doesn't even give us a pregame speech.
You're
we go
so
out
hyped.
There, and like, we weren't the best in high school, mm-hmm. but we beat a really good team that was, you know, everybody on the outside thought they were gonna beat us, and so we were like, this is our song. We got to listen to this before every game. Listen to it at halftime too.
Yeah.
Like it was our thing. It was awesome.
That's sick. I think is that the same song? I think the 49ers played on the beatbox. I think Debo Samuel walked out with.
Yeah.
It was 2 years ago.
I think so.
Yeah, that's a good song. It's a hype song. All right, last one, the most important. Think hard about this one. What does it mean to be a mule?
That's a good one. It's a very special thing, you know. Being a mule, not everybody can be a mule. Mm-hmm. And it's a very limited and selective amount of people in the world, you know. But to me, what it means to be a mule is to be the best,
to
be the best version of myself. Tell my brother be the best version of himself. And being a mule. That's a good question. But yeah, like
I like that. No, I've been getting a lot of that same answer in this show. Just like being the best, going the extra mile.
Yeah, you know,
accountability,
like,
things like that.
Hard work, selflessness.
Yeah,
you know, discipline, grit.
Yeah,
tough. You know,
probably all those things Coach Lambert students harping on this year.
Preached all of that to us, and you know, it's always been a special thing to be a mule, and
especially in your story that we told earlier, just coming here, not even as a preferred walk on,
yeah,
got a tryout,
exactly,
worked your tail off for this. Now you're part of this team, you know.
Yeah, God's blessed me to be a mule.
I love to hear that. It's a great way for us to end it. Thank you so much.
Of course.
As you all know, that was Christian. Thank you so much for being here. We had some scheduling difficulties last week, so he was able to make it work. He's got to go, I believe, film here in 25 minutes, so we're going to let him go. But when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit football, some more Mules football, and about a little NFL recap. So please stay tuned. The email line is still open at winningformula6409@gmail.com. And we are going to head to a short break. You are listening to The Winning Formula on UCM Radio, The Beat.
One in nine people worldwide go to bed hungry each night. That's why UCM students and faculty are encouraged to visit the UCM Campus Cupboard. Campus Cupboard is a volunteer-based charity dedicated to alleviating hunger and financial burdens in the UCM community. Any UCM faculty, staff member, or student who presents a valid ID may select 10 items per week from Campus Cupboard. Campus Cupboard is located in the lower level of the UCM Student Rec and Wellness Center and is open Tuesday through Thursday from 3 to 5:30 p.m.
Did you know that millions of animals are either abused or abandoned every year in the United States? Donate to your local animal shelter today. And if you have room in your home, why not adopt a furry little friend to add to your family? Be a part of the change. Be a part of saving a helpless animal's life.
Long ago, you wouldn't think of galloping on a horse while doing calligraphy. And you wouldn't have attempted to ride your bike while typing a letter. Yet you think you can safely operate a multi-ton vehicle while texting? Behind the wheel is no place to multitask. If you want to BRB, drive now and text later. Lives depend on it.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Tobacco use affects youths all across the United States. Millions of youth are at risk for disease and even death due to tobacco use. Talk to your kids about tobacco use and how it can affect their lungs. Help keep the future of this nation safe from tobacco-related illnesses.
My name is Jake Woofter. Catch Making Waves, explaining the why and how of audio from 4 to 5 p.m. on Wednesdays. Dive deep into the behind-the-scenes of audio and the tools of the trade that make the most interesting sounds. Find us here on the best radio station in town, UCM Radio, The Beat.
Welcome back to The Winning Formula on UCM Radio, The Beat. I am your host, Cole Elling. I just had a great time with Christian Davis, a redshirt sophomore on the football team. As you all heard, Christian's a wonderful guy, hard worker. I did not know that story about him walking on like that. Pretty awesome, pretty motivating stuff. I've had some teammates that were also walk-ons like that and made a great career for themselves here at UCM, just like Christian, helping out a team with some really big victories this year, and just it makes it so much easier to root for these guys when you meet them and they're that cool, and just very involved with campus. All he does at FCA, it's very cool stuff. So thanks again to him, and please keep hitting me up. Winning Formula 6409@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you all. But before we get into those emails, we're going to talk some UCM sports recap. We're going to start off the day with football, as they had, I mean, arguably one of the biggest, best wins I've heard of in UCM football history, taking down Emporia State 77. That's right, 7-7. To 27. They were actually only up by 7 after the first quarter and then just obviously ran away with it. Zach Zabrowski established a new Central Missouri and MIAA single game record for passing touchdowns with 8 total passing touchdowns, 615 yards in the air, and 673 all-purpose yards. went 31 of 51 passing, and then record-breaking 615 yards through the air. So it's just what a game for him, really solidifying himself as the, I would say, the biggest, best Harlan Hill candidate so far in the season. I mean, how do you not give this guy the award for best player in Division II? The stats he is putting up is quite amazing. Awarded the D2 Offensive Player of the Week after the game against Emporia State. And a lot of other great play all around the ball. It's not just sack, obviously, helps out big time. But Marcellus Hawkins, 183 rushing yards, 14 carries and 3 touchdowns, dog. And then Arkell Smith, 137 yards, 5 catches with 3 touchdowns. So a lot of great things happening on offense, but defense as well. I mean, leading the nation in turnovers, interceptions. They had, gosh, what was it in the game? I think they had 2 interceptions and only 84 rushing yards for Emporia State last Saturday. So a lot of great things happening on both sides of the ball. The team will leave this Friday to compete at Missouri Southern in Joplin on Saturday. Missouri Southern, as you might have heard Christian say, they're 4-4, very hungry team. And when you're a team like Central Missouri, you got a target on your back. So they're obviously going to give everything they got to the Mules, but should be a good fight for them this weekend. Bowling. Going over to women's Jenny's Bowling, took 7th place the Penguin Classic 2 weeks ago. Their season's underway. Their next one, they leave the beginning of November for their next tournament. Jenny's Golf, I mentioned earlier. Haley Jones won last week at the Midwest Intercollegiate out here at Mules National, winning by 3 shots. Team won themselves, and then they just left for Tulsa, or came back from Tulsa, last Tuesday, where they racked up their 4th win in a row. Mia Rallo took home the individual victory. That's her 3rd victory this season. So she's won 3 out of 5, and the team has won 4 out of 5. So I talked to Coach Port earlier in the week. I had an interview with him for the student newspaper, and he mentioned several times to me how proud he is of these girls. Best start that he's ever had since being the coach here. This is their 10th season with Jenny's Golf, and this is their lighting the world on fire. They're going to be, for sure, I would say, a top 15 team heading into the spring semester. Tulsa was their last tournament of the year, so what a great way for the ladies to end their season at 4 straight wins and a complete powerhouse in the Midwest region right now. Volleyball, sadly, since last show, Jennies have lost 2 games, but they were also very tough games. Number 9, Nebraska Kearney on the road and Emporia State on the road. I don't see these stretches coming back for the Jennies, as the losses come on a long road trip. And Nebraska Kearney is one of the hardest places to play for the Jennies. They fought back, though, hard and won their last 3. They face a tough matchup this weekend, playing twice at home versus Pitt State on Friday and the number 18th ranked Central Oklahoma on Saturday. So hope you all can make it out there to the Jennies volleyball game. Soccer also staying hot. They've won 6 of their last 7. Their only loss coming to against Washburn, who's the number 1 team in the conference and top 10 in the nation. So that was a tough one on the road, but girls are still looking strong. They've already clinched the MIAA tournament and stand a game and a half behind Washburn. Conference tournament's going to start November 5th for them. Finally, Mules Golf, my boys. Hope you all are out there listening. Competed in their last event this semester in Tulsa as well, the Tulsa Club. Team finished a tie for 4th as Brooks Baldwin got into the top 10 with a T9 finish and even par through 3 rounds. So that's kind of our quick update here with UCM Sports. We are going to head to a quick commercial break, but please continue to send those emails in, winningformula64093@gmail.com. When we return, we'll talk some football, a little update on how the NFL season is going. I really hope you're a Chiefs fan for this next segment, as we're going to talk some Chiefs football. And then I may or may not be ranking the 10 worst teams in the NFL, not the best. We're going to go to the bottom of the totem pole. So my buddies out there, you know who you are, Broncos fans, Bears fans. You're going to be talked about here in a bit. So stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss it. This is The Winning Formula on UCM Radio, The Beat.
Blood drives are a significant event. 4.5 million people need a transfusion each year. It only takes about an hour to save a life. Even one pint of blood can save up to three people's lives. So, if you want to help, please visit redcross.org to set up an appointment today.
Did you know that there were more than 62 million tons of paper products recycled in 2021? That is a lot of recycling. A lot of these paper products can be used to create new day-to-day things, such as straws, disposable cups, and even cereal boxes. That is the beauty of recycling. By recycling, you can help be a part of making a change and increase those numbers. Change starts with you. So let's start today.
In 2020, men died by suicide 3.88 times more than women. That number is way too high. That's why the National Suicide Prevention Hotline is available to all men. Call 988 if you are struggling. You're not alone. There is help.
According to a study by IBM, 95% of all cybersecurity breaches result from human error. That adds up to about $3.13 million of loss in 2020 alone, and accounts for acts like downloading infected files or software and storing weak passwords in easy-to-find places. When everything is online, you can't afford to not be. Protect yourself and others online. Learn more and how at CISA.gov.
Welcome back to The Winning Formula on UCM Radio, The Beat. I am your host, Cole Elling. I'm so happy to be with you guys today as we just wrapped up our little segment on UCM Sports Recap. But now I kind of want to transition into the NFL. The NFL standings have been shaken up the last two weeks, and I think my boys in red and gold are starting to rise to the top once again. With back-to-back divisional wins, the Chiefs now sit at 6-1 and complete control over the division. The team is looked great this Sunday against the Chargers. Obviously, a few hiccups. Me and a lot of other Chiefs fans, I'm sure, are excited to see Mecole Hardman back in the Chiefs uniform. That 50-yard punt return that he added in the second half really gave a spark. Let the team march down the field and put an explanation point on the win. I think he's going to find a role. I don't know with our receiving core now, obviously a little different. I think we'll see him in wide receiver. I think we're going to see him a lot of punt return, and I would really like to see that him take over that spot. I know in the past the Chiefs with Sky Moore and a couple other guys have kind of been shaky in that position, so I feel like that'd be something really special if Mecole could come back and really – take full advantage of that position. I think the Chiefs fan are really excited to, like I said, have him back. So, but with gain comes loss. As many of you know, Nick Bolton, the Chiefs announced the other day that he will be out nearly 2 months with a dislocated wrist, had surgery this week. And I think this is going to be really tough for the Chiefs. I mean, Bolton, 292 tackles, 20 tackles for loss in his first two seasons as a Chief. Many people, all my friends will tell you, I'm a firm believer that Bolton got nipped out of a Pro Bowl spot last year. I think that when you're the leading tackler on the best team for 2 years in a row, I think, how can you not be? And I think he's a huge leader for this defense. It's going to be really hard to see him fill that up. The 2 months timeline, Bolton will miss Broncos, Dolphins, Eagles, Raiders, and Packers, and the Bills and the Patriots before possibly returning three games for a three-game home stretch against the Raiders, Bengals, and Chargers. Those are our last three games, so hopefully, obviously, the Chiefs are going to want to see him play a little bit before postseason starts or playoff starts, knock on wood, but it'll be interesting. I like Drew Tranquil. He's going to fill his position hopefully well. We also, you know, guys like Charles Omenihu, huge game. I think those are the kind of guys that are going to have to be stepping up in these 2 months. You see the game that Omenihu had, two tackles, a sack, tip ball interception. If you can get a little bit of that from him each game, along with Chris Jones, I think this is going to be a really good team. It's just going to be really interesting to see, especially when we play teams like the Eagles, and maybe even the Bills and the Dolphins, teams like that without Nick Bolton. It's going to be really darn tough. So we'll see where it goes. I'm very curious but excited as the Chiefs will play the Broncos this weekend on Sunday in Denver. It's an afternoon game, so make sure to tune in to that. So let's get away from the Chiefs. I know everybody listening probably knows I'm a huge Chiefs fan, so I won't keep drowning you in Chiefs news, but I will drown you with the worst 10 teams in football, and I don't know if you guys are going to agree with this. I really don't. I think there's a lot of poor teams this year, I'm not going to lie, but some of the teams on this list I didn't want to put in there. I didn't, but their play the last couple weeks kind of made my decision fairly easy, I would say, so I don't know. But if you don't like my takes, if you agree or disagree, want your own, you know, give me your own top 10 teams, please email me, winningformula64093@gmail.com. So I will be looking out for those in this last 10 minutes of the show, but let's get started. And I'm going to go from 10 to 1, 10 being the best worst team, 1 being the worst team. We're going to start out in 10 with the Commanders. Week 4 Commanders gave the Eagles a run for their money. Sam Howell had arguably the best NFL game of his career. Since then, Commanders haven't sniffed that level of play whatsoever. I still believe in the Commanders being an above-average team. If they can give the Eagles their second straight loss this week, which I think is possible, I think if they can really figure out what they did right in that game earlier and fix it the last 3 weeks, they got a chance. I like their defense. I like Sam Howell. But then again, it's the Eagles after a loss, so it's going to be a tough one for him, that's for sure. Next, I got the Packers at 9, sitting at 2-4 with a very weak schedule. Love has had glimmers of good football, but he has also played poorly against some poor defenses already with 7 interceptions and only 10 touchdowns. So haven't really been able to score. A lot of their wins and losses are, you know, 3-20-something, 12-something. It just hasn't been a lot of pretty football for the Packers. And obviously some huge shoes for Love to fill, and with Rodgers being gone, obviously. So not a surprise there, but still a team that I think has glimmers of hope, but still just with how weak their schedule has been and the wins and losses that they do have, I think you kind of have to put them there. At 8, I have the Raiders. Weren't on this till their loss against the Bears in Week 7. I think that loss really, really hurt you. Obviously, the Bears, I mean, I would tell you myself the first team out of it already. And when you lose to the Bears and you're already struggling in your own division like the Raiders are, just can't have it. And it wasn't even a healthy Bears team. I love my D2 quarterbacks, but they did lose to Division II quarterback on the Bears last week, so that's kind of says itself. Patriots at 7, although it was a really weird for me in how the Patriots really randomly dropped the information about Belichick signing an extension with the Pats this week, which happened like 4 months ago. They decided to drop this news when they're struggling, be like, oh no, hey, we're still with Belichick, which is fine, I get, but I don't think that the Pats have a true identity right now. I think that makes them look like they still believe in the process, but their last-minute win last week sparked some life, but I'm not sure. I've just never been sold on Mac Jones. I'm also just a Chiefs fan, so it's hard for me to root for Belichick. That's what puts them at 7. At 6, I have the Giants. Seems like Saquon is on the trading block in New York. I saw some things on Instagram this week referring to him. Obviously, Giants are open to trades, I believe, in my personal opinion. His snap count has been down, and just like the Pats, I feel like the Giants are really struggling for an identity right now. I put the Titans at 5, but I don't really know why. I know that they're not an above-average team. I think they're selling hard. A lot of guys, they're looking to trade. I think Henry's on the block just like Saquon. I think his time's over in Tennessee. I think it's only so long you can have, in your opinion, the best running back in the league on your team and just do absolutely nothing. I think they can get a lot of value for Henry. I think there's a lot of teams with some good offenses that just need a guy like Henry. And so I don't know what this will do for the Titans. I think they're selling. I think they want to be younger in the draft. And then four, I got Broncos, mainly because, just again, I dislike the Broncos. I think Sean Payton and Russ seems like a pretty toxic thing right now. I think Russ is still a great quarterback, but they just can't seem to do the right things. One game, the offense looks great, and the defense looks terrible, vice versa. Not a lot of good things happening on the field for the Broncos right now. That's why I have them at four. Three, Cardinals are the Cardinals. I think no one really thought they were going to have the season, have a great season this year, and so I think this is kind of summing up their record right now. At two, I got the Panthers. Only reason they aren't the worst team is because they didn't get the chance to lose this past week. That's right. They had a bye, moving them to the second spot. Not sure how this team just gave up 84 points in the last two games. A lot of points getting scored against. I know they're playing good offenses. But if Bryce Young could just find some ways to get Thielen the ball and Chuba can find some holes in a holeless offense, I think they could have a chance to win some games, but just nothing's working on their side. And at number one, I think you all already know I have the Bears at the worst team in the league. If the team wins next week against Badgent, the former Harlan Hill winner, we're with Badgent, I mean, sorry. I can see myself moving them up. I think I don't want to say I was surprised to see him win. I was happy to see them get a win with Badgett in the backfield, but I don't know. It's a tough scene for the Bears. I think they need to stop saying that Justin Field is for sure their quarterback. You know, a lot of Bears fans, I feel like, saying that Justin Fields is the answer. Justin Fields is the answer, and he just really hasn't had enough to give him the answer. And I understand that he is one of 22 players that start the football game, but I mean, you make the argument. A lot of people thought Justin Fields was the next Patrick. I'm not going to lie. I thought a lot of people thought that, but you put Patrick Mahomes on any team in the NFL, I think he automatically makes them better. I think Justin Fields, he's a great quarterback. There were some issues at the beginning of the year saying that, you know, the coaches weren't really letting him play in his style of football. So we'll see. I'm not sure what the rest of the season holds in the future for the Bears, but I have them at the worst team in the NFL now. So it is what it is. I'm sorry to my buddy Tyson, lifelong Bears fan, but they got to be somewhere, and this week they're one. So last thing I want to cover real quick, I know this has been out in the news for a little bit, but I have here at the bottom of my script about the NHL and the Pride tape. I don't know if anybody followed this, but NHL banded rainbow-colored tape on hockey sticks. Some teams were doing a tie-dye themed jersey night, and these were banned. Obviously, this was in support of LGBTQ plus community, trying to grow the game of hockey, and they outlawed the tape in the jerseys from NHL games. And I think this is kind of alarming to me. I know hockey's not for everybody. I get that, but I think it's time to really put your ego aside and realize that people from all different walks of life can enjoy any certain game that they enjoy. And when you basically are telling your fan base that, hey, we don't support this, I think it's gonna nip them in the butt here soon. It was a pretty disappointing thing I heard. I know this happened fairly recently, but I think it was more last week. And this is just, I think, something in sports right now that shouldn't be happening. And for this to, for them to, you know, supposedly be Canada's game. I know, you know, this isn't America isn't a big hockey country, but we do have NHL. This is our league. And when you're making these decisions, you're really affecting more than just your few thousand own fans that might have their own way of thinking. So I would like for them to think about all the kids and people watching the games and their different backgrounds and walks of life. So just my two cents there. Thought it was pretty disappointing, but you never know what the future holds for the NHL. Sadly, that is all the time we have for today. I hope you all enjoyed this show. Make sure you tune in next week. Again, on Wednesdays at 1, go out and support your Mules and Jennies this weekend. Volleyball and soccer at home. I know football's on the road. But most importantly, please keep emailing me. I love the support. I appreciate it. Please keep tuning in. And this is The Winning Formula on UCM Radio The Beat. And I am your host, Cole Elling. Please join me next week right here on UCM Radio.
Did you know that the University of Central Missouri has been leading innovation for nearly 150 years? With more accreditations and more qualified faculty members, our commitment to academic success is unparalleled. And we make sure every student receives the support they need to graduate on time and with less debt. So whatever opportunity you're looking for, make your impact sooner at UCM, with campuses located in Warrensburg, Lee Summit, and online. Find out more about UCM and the power of opportunity in action at ucmo.edu.